folks. Good evening. This is Mr. Skullhead hosting the Jick and Crew Radio Hour, or 2 hours. Jick has pre-recorded segments, and he's given them to me to play. So let's play them, shall we? We shall. What do you think, Ollie? Me too.
Hey, everybody. It's Thursday. It's actually not Thursday. It's Wednesday. I got some stuff I got to do tomorrow during the show. And so...
why don't you tell us some anecdotes about what you need to do?
Going to record these here MP3s and then send them to Scully, who's going to broadcast them for me. He threatened to introduce us in a fake English accent. So let's just pretend that he did and say, shut up, homo.
Or top of the morning to... I don't even know what that means.
You seriously can't hear me?
I can now. It was just static for a while. It was like you were modem man.
Huh. That's aggravating, because Skype was working fine for the 10 minutes we sat around bullshitting before we actually started recording a show. Anyway, I'm Jake, and this is Hot Stuff and Riff.
Hi.
Hello.
Maybe the recording program is what causes all the problems.
I don't know, man. I want to apologize for the horrible quality of last Thursday's show. That was some bullshit, and I don't know what was going on with it. You guys did anything exciting since the last time we recorded one of these?
No, not really. Just been working on the item of the month, pretty much. Pretty hardcore working, actually.
I got two giant blisters on my fingers that I then ripped off my hands on Monday.
On purpose, or?
No, like, accidentally. I thought they had kind of healed, but they hadn't healed.
Is it from doing your stupid climbing?
Yeah. You're gonna get into it, and then you're gonna be all like, dude, that 5'11 was totally righteous, man.
I have a feeling that I am, both of those things will not happen. One of them might. I might talk like that just to make fun of you, or I might get into it, but I'm not gonna get into it and talk like that.
Oh,
I don't know, man. It's going to be so hot when I get back. I'm kind of looking forward to that to some extent, but not...
You mean the weather, not the, like, action, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. It's going to be so hot. Yeah. Nobody will be able to stand it. I apologize for all of my throat clearing. I don't know. I got some frobs.
Some frobs?
Yeah. I don't even know what those are. So yesterday for a while, the clock on the cable box here in the apartment broke, and it read 3:16 for like a couple hours, and I was afraid that the cable box was trying to send me a message about how he so loved the world
he
that
shall repent.
Gave his only begotten son. Yeah. But nothing else happened. I turned on the TV expecting to see, like, a burning bush. But, let's see.
The burning bush.
I've spent a couple hours today playing Star Control 2.
Really?
Really?
I found a walkthrough that kind of leads you through the plot by, like, taking you from... mineral-rich world to mineral-rich world in a way that lets you accomplish a lot really quickly. And so I think I'm gonna mess with that for a while, and then once I get to the point where I haven't seen it before, I'm gonna, you know, just start with that save game and kind of play on my own. Huh. But it just kind of does this thing where it's like, it takes you to enough worlds to get your ship totally outfitted, and then you go on the, like, finding all the rainbow worlds cruise, so then you sort of get everything from the Melnorm, and then, like... then you can just play. I tried to play the fucking combat by hand, and it is just too hard. The goddamn Slylandro probe just destroys every ship in my armada every single time. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know if it... first of all, I don't know if, like, the Urquan Masters is just running combat, like, 20 times as fast as it was in the original game, but it is seriously fucking impossible. It is impossible. I was able to destroy that, like, I was playing by hand, and I was able to destroy that first Illrath that you have to fight.
Right.
That doesn't have the cloaking device and is just meant to be this total pushover. But, like, seriously, the goddamn probe just wipes out 10 ships. It's ridiculous. Now, if I turn on the cyborg fighter, it only wipes out half the crew. Single goddamn probe. You get enough materials to buy all the crew back, though, when you kill it. So, those brave men, those heroes. Little green dots.
I told you I played through not losing a single guy, and in fact, with a net gain of guys from the Siren.
Yeah, you did. And every time I'm playing the game, I think about that and how crazy you are. And how I'm glad I'm not you.
For that reason, because I have a problem. I have got a problem. Yeah. I will admit that I've got a
just
problem.
Just the constant saving and loading required to... You know, yeah, I just can't. I'm not going to play like that.
It wasn't so bad. I mean, I got to the point where I was pretty good with the Siren, so the combat just took a long time.
Yeah.
Just sucking dudes out of the ships.
Fucking great game, though.
Yeah.
Great. I've also never played through it with the voice pack from the 3DO. Adds a little something to it.
I couldn't get the voice pack to work for some reason on my install.
Yeah, that's weird.
Maybe I just wasn't doing it right.
What about you, Riff? Been playing Peggle?
I've been playing more, what have I been playing? Still playing that 3D Picross game. I started a round of, Puzzle Quest.
A round of Puzzle Quest?
Well,
you started a guy on the new,
the original one. I haven't got the sequel yet, but while waiting to get my hands on the sequel, I started playing the original one on the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
I've pretty much thrown Puzzle Kingdoms down in disgust, and I'm just done with it.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of went off about the horrible quality of it on the Monday show, so you guys can listen to that if you want to know how I feel about it. Just to reiterate one point, though, in the goddamn interface... In the interface, there are five tabs or six tabs on the left side. They rearranged the tabs, but didn't move the hitboxes. So, if you hit the top tab, it selects the top tab. If you hit the second tab, it selects the second one. If you hit the third one, it selects the fucking fifth one. If you hit the fourth one, it selects the third one. And if you hit the fifth one, it selects the fourth one. So it is infuriating. It is infuriating. Every time, it makes me angry that, A... I can't open the friggin' inventory, which, you know, it wouldn't even matter. Even if I could get the inventory open, I would have not the foggiest fucking idea of how to actually equip one of those things on one of my guys, or where my guy actually is in relation to the shit that's going on in the world. Ugh. Miserable piece of shit is what that is. And the gameplay is not bad. The actual gameplay is not bad, but it is just wrapped in a turd.
Is this on the DS or what?
Yeah, it's on the DS. It might be better on the PC, I guess.
I mean, they could patch that bug at least on a PC.
Yeah.
I can't believe they shipped a cart with such a glaring interface.
Yeah. Anyway.
You should get a refund.
Yeah, I should. From Amazon. I wonder if I could, actually. If I was like, this game is a buggy piece of shit and I want my money back, if Amazon would be like, okay.
Are you a member of Amazon Prime?
I am.
Do you follow the Amazon Prime directive?
Yes, I do. Like, not allowed to use this to interfere with any primitive cultures.
Then I think you should be fine. You should probably be able to get your money back.
Well, I guess we can answer some questions. Do we have any game stuff that we want to talk about in particular?
Our game?
What's going on with questions? Yes, our game.
I mean, we just spent 5-10 minutes talking about game stuff, which is why I'm clarifying.
Yeah, now we just spent 5 or 10 seconds having this useless conversation.
Well, we haven't really done anything this week so far yet.
Well, I mean, we've done things.
Right.
This item of the month is getting all crazy go nuts.
Yeah,
I can't even.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I've nearly got my part all done.
Oh, wow.
I can't read fast enough to read the stuff that Riff is writing.
Anyway, so, yeah, it's the, you know, typical kind of three-part thing that we do. Only one part is this crazy... It's like that spider from Wild, 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 Wild West. And ours, you know, my part and Mr. Skullhead's part are just like, you know, like a bear. Well, I guess questions it is. Gorblex says, attacking a skin flute in the hole in the sky with a bone flute should upgrade your weapon into a living flute. That's kind of gross.
Ew, yeah.
Captain Kirk says, hey, when you guys were talking about the hedge maze becoming a zone after you're done, it made me think of the movie Labyrinth, the big disused maze that has acquired a life of its own. You can make a real zone with a lot of labyrinth-esque fun stuff in it. Yeah, if we do anything to the hedge maze, it's not going to be making it into some crazy, elaborate, like, entire zone. It really is just more of a puzzle than a zone. When I talked about making it a zone, I just meant in terms of, like, the way that it works mechanically on the back end. Ideally, we'd be able to convert that without you as a player even noticing that anything had happened, but probably wouldn't actually be able to pull that off. Might just not change anything at all. A lot of times there's nothing wrong with the status quo. Glebes has a suggestion that I'm not going to read out loud because we're basically planning on doing exactly what you suggest. So, don't tell anybody, Glebes. It's supposed to be a surprise.
What is that? Zoom in your questions there.
Tom93 says, regarding Plants vs. Zombies, yes, there is an infinite survival mode, and while the survival thing with 5 flags aren't too
hard, okay.
The hard mode ones with 10 flags get really hard, and endless survival mode just gets impossible. They ramp up the price of upgrades each time you use them, so your setup gets too expensive to upkeep quite fast. I did not find the 10-flag survival modes... I beat every one of them on the first try. Even though, you know, they were ostensibly the hard modes. I got up to like 25 flags in the endless survival mode, and given slightly different tactics, I could probably do better. But the problem is, I don't want to play through all the early waves again. I really wish that you could like save your game and reload it.
I feel like that's a feature of a lot of games that have like long levels,
yeah.
that with no save points. Like, I really want, like, you know, a state machine or something so that I can, like, figure out an opening strategy, an opening gambit, and then save it in that state and then try a bunch of different stuff after that. Because it is just universally a pain in the ass to, like, redo the same steps over and over and over again as you're trying to figure out strategies for, like, tower defense games and stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, it gets to the point where, like, I would play the game some more if it had that, but it doesn't, so I'm probably just not going to. I hope that there's a Plants vs. Zombies 2 pretty soon.
So do you think it was worth your $75 or whatever it cost?
No, it was, yeah. No, it was like $150. Yeah, it was. It was worth it.
That's cool.
I got the one that actually came with...
with like, a real zombie.
When you get the gold trophy, they actually mail you a big, a big trophy of a flower made out of gold.
Cool.
Put it next to all my other giant solid gold collectibles. I have a first edition, an entire set of Alpha Magic the Gathering cards made out of gold. Sort of hard to play with because they kind of bend and they don't bend
heavy.
Back when you shot.
Oh,
and
they're like really thin.
Yeah, they're really heavy.
I was imagining like gold bars.
Yeah. Gold bars like with Magic cards laser etched into the surface. Very difficult to play with. Or like if you just hand painted them onto like 50-pound free weights.
It'd be like playing with really heavy Mahjong tiles.
How does Mahjong work when you play it, like if you're an old lady and you're playing Mahjong?
It's not...
It's like little domino size.
Yeah,
size
they're like little dominoes. I mean, it doesn't... The physical thickness of the tiles doesn't really...
That's not what I mean. I mean, how does the game actually work?
Like, oh, just the mechanics
really,
of the game?
Ladies actually play with 200-pound dominoes?
No, I was just saying that the fact that they're tiles doesn't change anything. It could just as easily be a deck of cards.
Mahjong could?
Yeah.
You actually have like stacks of things, don't you?
Well, but that basically replaces the idea of drawing the top card off of a deck of cards. Instead of drawing the top card off of a deck, you're drawing the next tile off of the wall of tiles.
But don't you get to choose?
No,
you don't. I've never actually played. My grandmother plays Mahjong.
It's a lot like Gin Rummy.
Huh.
It's basically almost exactly Gin Rummy, but with much more complicated scoring.
Huh. For some reason I thought that there was like a field of tiles and you could choose anything that you could actually see or touch or whatever.
But that's how like the computerized Mahjong works, right?
Mahjong Solitaire is like that, but the actual four-player game is basically Gin Rummy.
So, I mean, is that a real game that people play with tiles? Do they lay out...
I don't think so.
The Solitaire version?
Yeah, I mean, I did it a couple times just for the hell of it, but it takes so long to set up. That it's, I don't know. I don't think it's worth it.
Huh. Let's see. Fujiko says, why can't we see all three of the gates with the telescope? Alternately, why aren't there two more additions to let us do it? We can see the sixth tower monster, which is even easier to guess without the telescope. I don't know.
They're gates.
I mean, it didn't make any sense that suddenly. Adding another lens to the telescope would allow you to see through things. It doesn't really make sense that, like, the second story of the tower is further enough away from the telescope that you need a more powerful lens to be able to see it, but,
It's just a really specific focal length to be able to see in the window.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. Either that or the tower is very, 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 very tall and laying on its side. I guess some of the text describes you falling down it, so that's... I don't know. Kevin B. says, can the untinkerer even untinker armor craftiness stuff? Nope, just meat paste. Gorblack says, thank you so much for inadvertently introducing me to Zombo.com. Never have I felt like my possibilities were so endless. Azeron says, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's amazing to me how many internet memes there are. It's inevitable that somebody who has spent years on the internet will have not been introduced to all of them. So, like, you're always going to be able to find something new on there that everybody else knows about, kind of, you know? Like, your wife had never heard of Zombo.com, mm-hmm. and, like, she'd been on the internet for years.
I assume she was born on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
You're telling me.
Do you think that we'll ever get to the point where we interact with the internet or some worldwide network like they do in Shadowrun? Like the virtual reality decks and
stuff? I don't know that we will ever reach the point where we want to.
Right? Yeah, it doesn't seem practical. Assuming that technology becomes possible, people will use it for games and pornography.
Right.
But for using it for actual work and other stuff that you do on the internet, I'm not sure it would be...
Yeah, but imagine like object-oriented programming where you had actual physical objects that you were manipulating in space and you could chain things together.
Hmm.
Instead of typing stuff, you are actually manipulating stuff.
It's so hard for me to imagine a way in which that would make things easier. You know, like, I mean, one of the primary advantages of a computer for bookkeeping is that when you're sitting at the computer, you don't have to, like, walk over to where your shit is to look at it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just find it. And, like, even the, you know, I'm not saying that I feel like the desktop model is the only, or the best or like the pinnacle of human accomplishment, but I don't think that modeling 3D space, you know, without some really pretty incredible conceptual revelation, right? Like, it just doesn't, you know, like Second Life, who the fuck is gonna go like, oh cool, so this is like a website for this company, except I have to wait in line. Like, fuck that. It's like, what's the point of that? And I think everybody understands now, oh yeah, what was the point of that?
That was the big failure of PlayStation at home thing.
What was that?
At home. The PS3's virtual networking thing. It's like the... I don't know exactly how to describe it. I've never actually bothered to look at it because all the reviews of it are so terrible. But it's like you—it's like your avatars on the PS3, and then they're actually 3D and walk around and go to bowling alleys where there are only 10 alleys. So if there are 10 people bowling, you have to wait.
Wow, weird.
Yeah, and just nonsense.
Have you guys seen the Blu-ray features that are like interactive? There's like a Blu-ray network.
Other people
who are watching the same movie you can interact with. I'm like, that seems... Maybe you don't even have to be watching the same movie. Anyone else who's like currently watching a Blu-ray disc, if you've got the network capability enabled, you can like interact with them or something. I'm like, people have any desire for this? Like,
I can't... You know, usually what I want... Oh, man, you know what you could do? It would allow you to sort of recreate the theater experience at home, where like you could turn on an audio channel that was other people like yelling at the screen,
yelling at the movie, yeah, giving you spoilers right before things happen.
Yeah, it'd be like your stupid ocarina where you can look at the earth and watch little notes fly out where other people are playing the ocarina.
It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, and that is kind of cool.
That's something to actually perform. That's somebody performing something. It's like if I could like zoom into somebody's living room and watch them watch a movie, I would be as excited.
I don't know. It depends on the movie and whether it was like an attractive naked woman watching it.
Okay. All right.
See? You see what I'm saying now? Or like, let's say somebody's watching a Blu-ray DVD inside the girl's locker room.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
See?
Okay. So you raise some valid points, sir.
Right. It'd be like the ability to turn invisible. Azeron says, for people in food-restricted ascensions, can you have the Trapsource quest not give pizza as a reward? See, no. There's a lot of people talk about this, right? And the thing about that is, if in a food-restricted ascension, we replaced all the food that you normally get for stuff with booze... And if in a booze-restricted ascension, we replace all of the booze that you normally get with food or whatever, and in a spleen-only ascension, we replace all of the food and booze you get with spleen items, then these are no longer actually different styles of play. They are the exact same style of play with a bunch of redundant content in them, right? So, that said, I think for this item of the month, we're about to do a thing that kind of violates that, which is... Weird. Oh man,
we need to figure that out.
Yeah, we do. Because of this is sort of spooky because of the way the camera is working and that I feel like maybe a little sort of low refresh rate. You guys have this weird, like, you kind of look like those people in that creepy ass Duracell commercials from like the 90s. Your faces are all blocky.
Yeah, we're kind of getting that on you as well. You're all blocky and melty and creepy.
No, but that's actually what I look like now.
I was like...
I've been going to
this body changes a guy.
And making myself all melty and creepy looking. Yeah. It's cool. I mean, you can do anything in New York. We're getting kind of bad sound quality coming through, too. This is frustrating.
I wonder if somebody in the office is sucking down some bandwidth or something.
I don't know. I don't...
I might have a torrent running. Let me go there.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
I mean, it wouldn't have just... I feel like it wouldn't have just started. It's worth checking, definitely. We should...
It was really bad the first time I tried to contact you, yeah.
Xenophobe always wanted to set up, like, a Linux machine doing some kind of crazy routing where it could throttle the amount of bandwidth that BitTorrent was allowed to use upstream in the office, and never actually did that. I wonder if there's not, like, a piece of network hardware that we could install that was configurable to do that, as opposed to, like, you know... like, it's the kind of thing where if you built a Linux box with two Ethernet ports... Hey, and we're back from that screwed up glitch that you wouldn't have even known about if I hadn't just said, hey, and we're back from that screwed up glitch that you probably wouldn't even know about. Anyway, we're trying this without being able to look at each other's smiling faces now, hoping that the increase in bandwidth afforded by not having a video stream will help and improve the experience for you, the listener. But now I feel like since I can't see you, I can't talk to you. Are you guys still there?
What?
Who?
What about now? Are you guys still there?
What?
Who?
Are you guys still there? Anyway, Glebe says, could you make it so having a wang in your inventory acts the same as being wanged? No, that's how they were initially conceived of as working, but I don't want to hit the inventory table every time you talk and chat. I guess there wasn't an also to that. I don't know what I was about to say. A deadhead says, whoa, Scully's in hardcore. Does this mean he plays the game 2 more weeks? What? I don't get it. 2 more weeks? He wants Obama in office for 2 more weeks? RDF says, hey guys, love the show. If you think Craftable Shield is hard to say 10 times fast, try Coppertop Cop Apocalypse. That's the title track on my new CD. Vocals took 400 takes.
400? That's a lot of takes.
Dr. Keir says, despite my best efforts, I've had no luck getting the Grand Overlord of All Things Hobo to drop a sock. Is there anything special to it, or just kick his butt and hope? I don't remember anything about Hobopolis, man.
There's probably something special.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
Mecha says, would you mind listing the current list of big projects you have underway? And small projects? And which big project is the least on the back burner? And which small project? There really aren't any small projects underway right now. The big things currently going on are, like, you know, we've been tossing around what to do with the C, but no significant work has been done on that. The June familiar, and then some super secret other stuff.
It's not super secret.
It is.
Semi-secret.
It's totally super secret. Seal Clever for Life says, a seal counter to tell us how much seal we smashed? We should implement a seal counter to tell you how much seal you listened to while you were playing KOL. I have a feeling for most players it would be zero. You have to have a trophy for listening to a lot of seal songs. I don't know how we would code that, but I'm sure CD Moyer can figure it out.
You have to enable the ability for us to listen to everything that you do on your computer. But I don't think people would mind.
Yeah, I don't see why anybody would have any objection to that.
Yeah,
I mean, what we need to do, we should also, speaking of earlier, you know, the earlier show, what we should do is we should just port KOL to Blu-ray so that whenever anybody is playing it, we can see into their living room.
Yeah.
Even if they're not in their living room.
How are they not in their living room when they're playing it if it's on Blu-ray?
Well, you could have a Blu-ray player in any room of your house.
Whoa! Now you're talking crazy.
Gorblack says, are there any as of yet undiscovered features of Hobopolis? I don't know, actually. It is possible that some of the mechanisms for the zones interacting with one another have not been completely figured out yet. I know there was something that just finally got changed to accurately reflect how it actually works, like a couple weeks ago.
In the wiki, you mean?
Yeah. But I don't know. Honestly. I didn't ever really pay a lot of attention to the spading efforts in there.
I paid attention early on, but a lot of the big stuff got kind of figured out within the first week or two. And then there was, of course, you know, the speed drop mechanism.
Yeah.
Which took a little while, but I was really pleased with that it... We chose numbers such that it was obvious.
Yeah.
That it would work, and then also balanced it such that they were appropriately challenging.
Yeah, got lucky in a lot of ways, I think, on that. Secular Bell Choir says, what's your opinion on old recurring jokes? I hate them! You're disabled! Saga Chaka says, are there any plans for a fairy or leprechaun-type underwater familiar? Yeah, there are. Parafert says, care to say a few words on the passing of GeoCities? I'm amazed that it was still around.
Yeah. Wow.
It was still around?
it went away?
Yeah, they turned it off. It's weird, because there is a lot of... I mean, that's a lot of internet that just went away, right? Basically, probably nothing good. I know Scully had an old GeoCities site that he was just sort of constantly irritated by the fact that he couldn't get rid of it, because he somehow lost access to the account.
I think my black-white card site was GeoCities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, that kind of thing is weird, because, like, there would have just been no way for them to get a hold of all of the people who had sites on there. Because, you know, they're all, like, a 10-year-old web page is, like, a weird thing, right?
I mean, so I just loaded Riff's GeoCities site, so it's not gone.
Well, they must have, then maybe they just haven't turned it off yet.
You might want to,
download that file or something, yeah.
But don't copy that flop.
asymmetric.net/GeoCities.
That's true. King Stupid says, Jack Skullhead, everybody, check this shit out. And then he links to ironsky.net. Apparently some movie about Nazis and spaceships.
Cool.
Joe Grant says, weapon type for the dueling banjo seems incomplete. What does that mean?
Is it not just a banjo?
Oh, it is not.
Well, what's the regular one?
It's a two-handed nothing.
Oh. That's weird.
Yeah. The other one was a banjo. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joe Grant. And they said, does this item satisfy the Stone Mariachi guitar test? It should. If it doesn't, then I've fucked something up.
It was on your list of things to do.
Okay, good. Did I mark it off?
I don't remember. I think so.
I like it when I have lists of things to do. Jalandi says, hi, Jick. I downloaded and watched Freddy Got Fingered on my PSP based on your recommendation. What was your favorite scene in the movie? It is impossible for me to pick basically, however many scenes there were in that movie, that's how many beautiful, perfect, unique scenes there were.
The one that you always sort of bring up that comes to mind is the message left in ketchup.
That was not from Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, which one is that?
That was from, like, the second Dumb and Dumber movie, which was the only good thing about that movie.
Oh, I see. That's why you bring it up.
Yeah. I think probably my favorite part of the whole of Freddy Got Fingered, if I had to pick one, is in, like, the first few seconds of the movie when he is looking at his sketchbook and telling the story of the banana who's applying for a job as a telephone repairman. Then he just starts yelling about how, you got the job. You got the job, buddy. And the we could live like kings because of the treasure that he's pretending as soap on a rope, that he's pretending as a treasure. Yeah, man, that's a good movie.
Was there a script, you think, at all, just improvised?
I don't know. There has to have been a script.
Well, I mean, I guess there had to have been some sort of outline at the very least, so that they could know what to shoot and, like, who had to be there that day and that kind of stuff.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the other people in the movie, at least, their lines were scripted, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe Rip Torn is just that good at ad-libbing. What are you doing? That's all noisy.
I'm making noise. You can't tell because you can't see me.
Yeah. I'm Eliana says, why does the snorkel say that it will let you breathe underwater if you can't use it to adventure in the sea? Should this be changed to reflect the new underwater dynamic? I don't know, man. But a lot of people want the snorkel to let you adventure in the top sea area.
What do you think about that?
I don't know.
reasonable.
You know, it would. The thing is, we got to figure out what we're doing with the unlock mechanism on the sea.
For the long term?
Yeah. Because if the snorkel lets you go there, when do we let you in? Because the snorkel can be equipped at, like, zero stat, right?
Right.
So, like, the thing is, we need a better setup than we have now anyway. Because it kind of, whereas it does make sense that it's triggered by you getting the scuba gear because you can't do anything in there without the scuba gear, it doesn't make any sense narratively that, like, oh, I just noticed after going through this door in the sorceress cave, sorceress thing, whatever, that there's this guy standing here. Right, so I don't know how to approach that. Allowing you to use the snorkel in the top zone would make it significantly easier to farm the fish meat, which makes it significantly easier to be self-sufficient in terms of adventuring down there for one adventure at a time.
What if you narratively actually release the old man from the sorceress's tower? Because that would kind of solve that narrative problem and wouldn't really have to change anything.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Although I think it would seem weird to somebody playing through the first time. Although it must seem weird now, right?
What would be weird about it?
Well, because suddenly I wouldn't want people to feel like the underwater stuff was a part of the sorceress quest.
Oh, I see.
But I wonder if they already feel that way. I don't know. It's also weird that the majority of people in the sea have the old man quest in a state of perpetual unfinishedness because it doesn't make any sense to finish it again.
What if the sea didn't show up on your first ascension?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't know that it makes sense to really lock people out of, like, aftercore content on their first ascension because, like, why make the game seem more limited than it is? You know, I kind of hate the idea of the old man just, like, showing up, like, when you're level 15, right? And then that makes it so we don't have the potential to, like, accidentally make the sea ascension relevant.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, how do you feel about the snorkel thing? It's like, it dramatically increases the number of fish meats that you get, right? Like, it would be like increasing the drop rate on those five or six fold, I think.
Not that bad. It's not so deep that has a lot of bearing. And
yeah, the depth doesn't, but the...
Because you can use the scuba gear, you can use the aerated helmet, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
So, you're... You know, it's multiplying it by two or one and a half instead of...
Oh, here's what we do. We do that, but we give the scuba gear like a negative, or the snorkel a negative 300% item drops.
That would lead to so many bug reports as people equipped it without realizing what was going on, and then nothing ever dropped for them ever again.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not entirely averse to the idea... Though I have said that I was in the past.
No, I don't think the snorkel should work. It's the briny deeps. I mean, it is way deeper than you could go with a snorkel. Like,
yeah.
Snorkeling is really just for the top 10 feet of, you know, the ocean. You can die if you try to dive too deep just with a snorkel.
You can die that way?
Yeah.
You could die in a bathtub with a snorkel if you're really trying.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You can't go to the briny deeps with no snorkel.
We can make it so it only worked for a couple of rounds.
Of the combat, and then you take like 1,000% hit point damage every turn.
Well, how does it work with the underwater seals? The underwater seal works like that.
I don't remember.
Because you're suddenly underwater. I guess nobody's fighting them that needs more than two or three rounds to kill them.
What would be interesting is if the scuba gear and Harry the Helmet let you get the Dolphin King map completed.
I don't know that that really counts as interesting.
Well. Yeah. Dolphins, man. Dolphins.
So, we have 24 minutes on the previous segment and 17 so far on this one. We should go like another 10 minutes and then we should pause and take a break. We can either record both of these tonight or we can do one today and one tomorrow.
I'm down for going ahead and doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just do it today.
Okay. Giuseppe says, NPC store additions? Most of the weapons in the armory are swords. Clubs? Shields? Familiar equipment? Yeah, I could see the armory and legory getting a little more stuff in it, I guess.
What's wrong with swords? You don't like swords?
We have all this stuff that, you know, like, since seal clubbers are all clubby now. Maybe we could hide a club for them in some sort of clubby hole.
Yeah. You could use the arms and legs of the armorer and legorer as clubs.
You mean those arms and legs that they don't have?
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. Because they sold them.
Or you could just pretend that you were using them as an invisible club that you also couldn't hit anything with. Gleebs writes, do the new turtle familiars act differently for a turtle tamer using them? Yes, they do.
Yep.
Istanbul asks, I think this came up last time, why are the consumption level requirements for enchanted bean burritos one level higher than the other bean burritos on every tier? It's because of the thing that they give you.
The insanely spicy one, at least.
Corblack says, if you had to pick a side, frat boys or hippies? I'd rather have the hippies win.
Really? You kind of have, you got a disdain for both sides, though.
That's true, but I'd rather hang out with hippies than frat boys, I think.
What about pirates?
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Although, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because, like, it depends. Like, you know, if I was...
They would aggravate you so much in different ways.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. let's see. Parse says, it's a bit past Q1, but one underused content vector is the perplexing lock in the lair. Perhaps using the VIP room key there for some little silly bonus. There has been an item in the wiki since the wiki was created to make the other keys open, to make the other keys in the game do stuff in the perplexing door, and we've just never done it. And the weird thing is that, like, it would be like an afternoon's project. Because they would almost all just be...
jokes.
Yeah, like a sentence. But, I don't know, man. Rimateltrot, turtle tamer, backwards, says, how far out are we for the more VIP content? We gotta do that Hobopolis thing.
Yeah. Let's do that this week.
Okay. Maybe after the show we can chat on the phone a bit and figure out how we want to make it drop. There were a lot of people, a lot of the things that we considered, a lot of the mechanisms that we considered for having that drop were things that people in the forums were specifically saying, like, oh man, I hope they don't do this. I'm curious as to how representative those people are of how the player base would feel in general about that kind of thing if we did it. Because I feel like we entertained a number of options for it, and almost all of the things that we considered are things that specifically came up, right?
Well, every method is going to have some people that are not happy about it, right?
Yeah. It's difficult to figure out, like, content that is like rare and equitable,
right,
is just tricky, right? Because like even if, let's say, it was just a 1% drop off of Hodgman unalterable, right, or something like that,
mm-hmm,
like rich clans still have an advantage because they can afford to run it more often, right? I mean, it's weird trying to come up with an equitable setup for clans with 5,000 people in them and clans with zero people in them.
I think we can safely ignore the clans with zero people in them.
Yeah, I think we can safely delete them every night at rollover, actually. It actually shouldn't be possible for there to be any of those anymore. Used to be if people got deleted from inactivity, their clans would have to be reaped. Like the whirlwind.
If you get disabled, you can still lose your
account. Oh, that's true. That is true. Furtawoon says, Hank's in closet interface looks like wine cellar with wings, and each wing have shelves like the display case. CD Moyer's been working on some inventory stuff, and I think that, I don't know, I have a way that I want it, and then that discussion always gets kind of overrun by people suggesting more and more and more and more and more things to be added to it. I don't know. I'm thinking that I might try and force the issue, pull rank on that, have him at least do it the way that I'm suggesting that it be done, and then see how people feel about that. Pagan says, can we have a pie made with floorboard cruft? No. The Logman says, love the new turtles. Familiars are great, as are all the other things. Really like the muscle class love. Yeah. Arkwild says, I have a meat car, but I've never seen roadkill. The way I drive, I should have hit all sorts of crap. So technically, every time your drunkenness is above zero and you go to Desert Beach, we're sort of encouraging people to break the law.
How so?
By simulating drunk driving.
You think?
Mm-hmm. And really, just the whole premise of the game is killing and raping to acquire meat to eat.
Right.
Let's see.
What site was that review on? Christian.
No, it was in an article in some like Louisiana State University newspaper.
Huh.
Really wish I had seen that when it was printed, because I totally could have sued them. And I think I probably would have.
You think?
Yeah, normally I wouldn't do something like that, but if somebody did something that was, like, insulting to us and against the law and just sort of infuriatingly poor research, I kind of don't mind making them suffer for that. Although, I don't know. I wouldn't have wanted any money. Can you sue somebody and make it so if you win, they just have to, like, throw the money away?
You could sue someone and then donate all the money to charity.
Hacksaw's Legit says, can you confirm that next month's item of the month is a spleen familiar? Yeah.
Kinda.
So, yeah.
We need to think about that a little bit more, I think. But.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing that we can talk about after the show.
Yeah.
Are you planning on staying in late today?
I'm going climbing tonight.
Oh, fine. How long from now?
Three and a half hours.
All right, we'll be good then. All right, going to end this segment. And now Scully will say some stuff. It'll probably be either funny or gay or both. And then he'll probably play some music, and the music will either be good or mashups. And we'll see you in a little while.
I drive these scrubs crazy. I do it on the daily. They treat me really nicely. They buy me all these ices, Dolce and Gabbana, Fendi and Bandana, Karen, maybe Sharon. All their money got me wearing fly. My love, my love, my love, my love. Touch it, I'ma start some drama. You don't want no drama. No, no drama. No, no, no drama. My hump, my hump, my hump, my hump.
We're back.
Woo!
Thanks for having
that awesome
music, Scully.
Or mashups.
Hey, did you guys do anything interesting over the break? I ate some tortilla chips and pepperoni.
I sit here playing Puzzle Quest.
Wow. Did you pwn any goblins?
That is exactly who I am poning, or actually rather their giant spider that they send to attack me.
I see.
I unpacked a scanner.
Did you get a new scanner?
Yeah.
What do you need a new scanner for?
I have had need of late to scan and email documents.
So you're gonna blow up some people's heads?
Yes. Darkly.
Awesome. Didn't you already have a scanner?
No. Maybe. I mean, maybe. There might be one in storage somewhere, but I just got a really cheap, quick and dirty one. That one was gigantic. This one is tiny.
Pasta Golem says, Deirdre and Scully, hey guys, will we ever get any more McPhee love? Just curious. Thanks. I think at this point it's less like we feel like there's an obligation to add things to McPhee's than if we have an especially good idea to do it.
There is one in the thread.
Is there?
Yeah.
Stanley says, what do you think about an item slash familiar that changes effects based on current character gender? We've already got some stuff like that. There are some items that react differently depending on what your gender is. Jump the Shark says, if you could do the nasty with any person, living or dead, who would it be? I'm going to have to go H.P. Lovecraft. Wait, the nasties were the nasties where you sit around drinking absinthe and talking, right?
Wow.
I don't even know why every time that comes up I think of H.P. Lovecraft.
Maybe it's just the phrase living or dead. You're like,
oh, because maybe both. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Why choose?
SnuffCell420 says, I cannot seem to be able to get the extra recipes for sticky meat kilt slash skirt to go into my discoveries. How is this to be accomplished, and what do you think I might be missing? Do you have to discover one of them as a male and one of them as a female?
I think so. It is so confusing. I really don't know.
I don't know how it works either.
It is, yeah, it's a big mess.
He says, are any of you going to play the new Punch-Out for Wii? I don't know, man. It is pretty difficult for me to imagine going and buying a Wii game at this point.
Krovax has played it, and the impression I got from him was that it's good, but it's unexpectedly short.
Huh.
So is your mother.
Do you have to punch?
I don't know.
I would imagine. I mean, like,
yeah,
wouldn't that be kind of the whole
being
point?
A Wii game. Yeah.
But I mean, like, I feel like a game that, like, the Wii boxing that comes on Wii Sports is just exhausting. Like, I feel like I would not want to play Mike Tyson's Punch Out if you actually had to throw a punch for every time your guy was going to throw a punch. Right? Like, you just I feel like the bulk of the nerds playing would just be.
But the Wii is all about not being just for nerds, right?
I see. So Punch-Out is for grannies.
Yeah. Did you listen to the very brief podcast of Adam Carolla and Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Mike Tyson rules. I mean, is retarded.
Don't let him hear you say that, though.
Yeah.
He probably would respond better to that than he would if you said he's great. Like, he got all embarrassed when Adam Carolla was like, you know, you're great. And he's like, yeah, well, thanks for saying that. Now I'm leaving. I'm getting embarrassed. Wow.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I guess. Stupak2 says, I have a long question about how to best ask you guys about potential changes to the game. Basically, the only thing I'd really like to see changed is dictionaries being tradable, and there are some reasons why, and I'd like to hear the reasons that they're not. Radio Bugbear doesn't seem too effective since questions get skipped and there's no real back and forth, and when things like this get discussed on the forums, the powers that be seem to basically be absent. Which is fairly understandable since we're offering criticism that may or may not be welcome slash appreciated anyway. I'd really like some avenue for discussions like the one that led to the junkyard slash glasses change or the lab key change. Maybe a monthly slash bi-weekly discussion about some potential change on the show. Oh, and P.S. Making dictionaries tradable would be super awesome. I don't think that we're going to make dictionaries tradable. I think that we're going to introduce at least one or two alternatives.
Yeah.
The question is how to balance the effort versus the reward there. It's going to be weird seeing what happens to those in the mall. I'm curious if they will sell for significantly more than their auto sell.
It depends on the
option. Do they have to? They would have to. They'd be limited to double auto sell.
Yep.
At least.
Wow. That's crazy. That'd be fucked up.
But the question is whether the question is whether they will sell for more than mall minimum.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if we're doing our job, they will.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Let's see. Razorpack says, "Dear Jake, if you could meet any celebrity of the last 50 years, who would it be and what would you say to them?" It would be H.P. Lovecraft, and I would say, "I'm sorry for all the weird sex stuff I've said about you over the past couple of years." And then I'd be like, "Fuck, I can't believe I wasted that opportunity." And also, H.P. Lovecraft was not a celebrity of the last 50 years. let's see. I had to kind of go down to dig through Stukak's questions, so... HCN says, "Can my quest log open to current quests instead of completed quests by default?" Does it open to completed quests by default?
I don't know.
I don't think that it does.
Mine doesn't open to completed quests.
Yeah, mine doesn't either. You know what? It opens to whatever the last... It must store in the session whatever the last page you had open was.
Right.
So go to current quests, HCN, and then yes, it can. Bug Bladder says, "Any news on the mysterious case of the missing trophy? Clue? Hints? Anything?" It's still fucking weird that it hasn't been found.
I mean, it's not... the fact that it has not been found thus far does not...
It doesn't surprise me.
It was weird that it didn't get found in the first 6 months, but since no one found it, it seems not weirder that it's continued to not be found, you know what I mean?
But, I mean, that's the thing. It's not like it is some just crazy novel thing.
Sure.
So, it's just, I don't know, strange.
Yeah.
Psycho Person says, it was a suggestion. The portal gun described as a AOL item. Cloudstrife says, "Dear Jake, did you like the Star Trek movie? You don't seem like a Trekkie to me, but interested in space battles." You know what I watched? The other night, I couldn't sleep, and so I was just randomly watching stuff on Netflix on demand. And I watched the first episode, which was basically like the first third of a three-hour movie, sort of the original Battlestar Galactica. I didn't realize the extent to which Wing Commander is like, it looks exactly like Battlestar Galactica.
Really?
Yeah, like, it just, like, the launch sequence, just like, shot for shot. And the ships look the same, and the enemy ships kind of look the same.
Huh.
It's weird. Like, I had no idea how obvious an influence that was on it. It was pretty good. Like, I think that I will watch some more of it.
I remember watching the original Battlestar Galactica and, like, enjoying it, but I don't remember a lot of details about it.
I had Lorne Greene. Everybody else had 70s hair. I don't know why I get Lorne Greene and Marlon Perkins mixed up in my head, but I do.
Huh. Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Maybe it was because of that Battlestar Mutual of Omaha crossover.
Well, Perkins Restaurant's color scheme is usually green.
Oh, that's probably it. Thanks, Hot Stuff, for solving that weird puzzle. He asked if Wolverine Origins rocked or sucked. He asked Scully that. I don't know what Scully thought of it, but Nightmare told me not to bother with it.
It's supposed to be like a pretty decent action movie, right? Like,
yeah, Smoove said that if it hadn't been for the action sequences, it would have been the worst movie he had ever seen. And if it hadn't been for the non-action sequences, it would have been the most awesome movie he had ever seen.
It's like the 35-minute cut of Phantom Menace or whatever that... Maybe not Phantom Menace, whatever the next one was. But just took out all the love scene stuff, like all the non-action sequences was pretty good. Huh.
Let's see. Going past Stuprock stuff that I already read. Testament says, so which class is next to be getting updates? There will be some minor updates for Postomancers and Sorcerers probably this week.
But very minor.
Nothing, yeah, very minor. Nothing particularly broad. Marth 1992 says, to the powers that be, what area of the game would y'all like to see improved or worked on the most, and or what is the most interesting area for y'all? Oh, I don't know. I want to get the C stuff finished, but I don't want to work on it piecemeal anymore. I want to. We basically got a roadmap for just being done with it. And then, after that, you know the other day how I was saying on the show that I needed to get excited about something so I would know what I was going to hate in 6 months?
Uh-huh.
And I think I figured it out.
Can you tell anybody?
Nope, I'm not going to tell anybody.
That's disappointing to our listeners.
Yeah.
You want to give them a hint?
No.
Okay.
Whee! He says, Dear Jack, what would you do if you had all of the apples in the world? And also, why aren't there any apples in KOL?
There's apple stickers.
Because Jick has all the apples in the world.
Yeah. I do have all the apples in the virtual world, and I'm keeping them because I want that many number of days without a robot doctor.
Do you also have all the horse apples?
Yeah, yeah. How do you like them horse apples? Frankenbean says, has anyone proposed merging the clan message board and K-mail into a unified system yet? If not, I am now suggesting it. I don't know.
Huh.
About
what would that mean?
I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't seem to elaborate. Fineldar says, I regularly fill my bathtub. It's useful for hurricanes and zombie apocalypses.
I don't know how.
Why would you want more of those?
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
do you stand on the far side of your bathtub and wait for the zombies to come towards you and then drown?
Well, some of them are riding dolphins.
That's true. They can hop right over the first lily pad they encounter. Unless you put a tall nut on it.
Right.
I don't know, it's as impressive as it is that you can create hurricanes in your bathtub. I think the danger of accidentally creating a zombie apocalypse is... Manic says, I'm just wondering if you know that embarrassed is misspelled in the Nobgoblin philosophy adventure in the sleazy back alley. Wow, that makes me feel a certain way that I can't... I don't know. It's like I feel kind of
you can't quite
kind of stupid and like people are looking at me and laughing. I don't like. Yeah. What? Mixie says the VIP hot tub removes the tussin. Is this intended behavior? A clanning's trying to figure out what the effect does, and knowing that it counts as a negative effect will help. Yeah. I mean, this is not the first thing that would have let you learn that. I'm surprised that wasn't already known. Because that all-purpose cleaner only removes negative effects.
I don't actually remember what it does.
What the tussin does?
Yeah.
it's not that interesting, but nobody knows, so we're keeping it a secret mystery. You can look in the effects spindler. Anyway, I need to mark this Nobgoblin philosophy thing to fix.
There are more typos than are dreamt of in your Nobgoblin philosophy.
Yeah. I feel like it would be faster for me to fix it than for me to open this thread and paste it in there, but that's what I'm going to do. Frankenbean says, so how long has it been since somebody asked for C.D. Moyer to implement tab chat in KOL code instead of Grease Monkey JavaScript? Well, the problem that I have with that as a project is I am not 100% satisfied with his TabChat Grease Monkey script. And some of that is owing to the fact that he did not have access to the source code, you know, the real actual chat engine when he did it. But some of it is just that there are behaviors that you know, I'm just not sure how I would want them to be handled. I tweak a lot of the options when I use his tab chat. I don't like green notifications coming in a separate tab, really, and like, but then having them come into the tab that I'm in is bothersome sometimes. I will often be in dev not realizing that chat has timed out and talking and then being like, why won't you assholes respond to me? You stupid assholes who are assholes. And then I look at the log and I realize that people have been talking to me the entire time. And then who's the stupid asshole? Then who?
It's still us.
Yeah, I know. Glebe says, selling AT buffs should be a tape recorder that makes mixtapes for people which break after somebody else plays them. Stinkstaff says, how about wax cylinders or whole balls of wax? There was this guy that used to come in to the computer repair store / internet service provider that I worked at in Prescott, who his favorite phrase was the whole bag of wax. It's not really a phrase, right? It's like he made that up, but he said it like every other sentence. Oh yeah, you know, I got like my mouse, my keyboard, the whole bag of wax. Just like. Subbot says, why can't creating potions from buffs work like crafting reagent potions for sorcerers? If you have an accordion, you make one potion at a time, two at a time for the epic weapon, etc. That is actually, I don't really understand why I never thought of that before. You know, it's weird because if you have that seven-turn accordion, it's going to, you're going to lose some turns if we did it in five-turn potions. But I don't think anybody has ever used that seven-turn accordion for anything ever. I'm kind of curious. Glebe says, I'm glad the swine flu panic is over. Now we can go back to worrying about the economy. Southwest talking about the gramophone in Hobopolis. Inferno Hero got to listen live for the first time and was extremely excited, wants to know what he missed in the first 30 minutes. Just have to check that their podcast. Glebe says, speaking of an idea you talked about that people really liked, Knob Goblin Assassin. Yeah. Stupak 2 says, I love the Bejeweled Turtle idea. Do it, please. I will love you forever. Smoothmoon says, we played a totally awesome board game called Pandemic, which is like the video game Pandemic, except you're playing the CDC. It's asymmetric against the board, players cooperating. It's also hard as hell, but very fun. You should check it out. Hot Stuff, were you the one telling me about that game?
Yeah, I've never actually beaten it. Hard.
Describe that to our listeners.
It's, you know, you've got a map of the world, basically, and there's various connections between different locations. You have different roles that you can take on, like researcher and like and like, you know, like a communications guy or whatever. But you can never have all the roles filled. Like, there's always going to be at least one role that is not filled. So there's always going to be some sort of weakness in your little network of people or whatever. And then it starts off really slow, and there's, like, you know, some diseases here and there, and you are simultaneously trying to make sure that the diseases don't sort of spread out of control, and you're trying to cure them. And it's just super hard. It's like, it's really, really tricky to do well. And it has this really interesting deck mechanic where you're going through and you're like pulling off locations basically as part of the deck. And they go into like this sort of temporary discard pile. But then once you get to like an outbreak card, you take the discard pile, shuffle it up, and put it back on top of the deck. So the locations that have had little outbreaks are then up on top of the deck, and they're going to have more and more outbreaks. And it's just super, like, once you get that first outbreak, it's like a race against the clock to prevent those locations from just, like, bubbling over and having their disease spread all over the place and kill everybody. It's really neat. It's a fun game.
Huh. We should pick up a copy of that. I'd like to play it.
Okay. Yeah. That one's good. And somebody mentioned the Red November or something like that. That's like another cooperative
have you played,
game against where you're playing against the board. It's like a time travel submarine repair thing.
Have you played Shadows Over Camelot?
We played it once at a few cons ago. We bought it.
I've heard of it, haven't played it. What's your opinion of it?
It was weird. It was like sort of cooperative poker against the Black Knight.
Huh. And the Red November might not actually be time travel, but there's a time track that is complicated. So I don't think you're actually time traveling, but
maybe you're trying to avoid time travel, like where the reactor in the submarine goes supernova meltdown and causes a singularity.
Yes. it's a weird situation. Like I didn't actually play it. I watched some people play it, and like it's possible to get yourself really far ahead in time in the game if you're not playing right or playing well or whatever, and then you can cause all kinds of really difficult situations to occur by being like ahead of all the other players in terms of the where you are in time and stuff. It's weird.
Huh.
Yeah. It's neat. It's like an interesting idea. It's like you're not only having to sort of keep track of what's going on like spatially in terms of like fires and like, you know, like pressure and stuff in the boat, but also sort of temporally when stuff is happening and where everybody is. Because like each action you do takes a different amount of time, so like you're like, I'm gonna repair this for 5 segments or whatever, so like you move your little piece ahead five time segments or whatever, but everybody else is still at different, you know, time places or whatever. And you can keep your turn can keep going, I think, as long as you want it to, but the further you get away from everybody else, the more likely it is that you're gonna get screwed or that they're gonna get screwed or whatever. It's also got a neat thing where, you know, if everybody dies, of course everybody loses, but you can, if just one person survives, they can, like, if they get outside the ship and then, like, see a hatch and everybody else dies, they actually win, even though it's normally a cooperative game or something. So it's like mostly cooperative, but then you can be like, actually, fuck y'all, and then, like, kill everybody else.
Because it turns out you were a spy, assassin.
I don't even know if it is. I think it might just be like, I can save myself, screw these guys. I'm not sure. Again, not having actually played it, but just having watched people play it, I'm not entirely sure how that all worked. But, yeah. I think if you escape early, if anybody else survives, you lose. But if everybody else dies, then you win, I think.
Huh. That's weird. I mean, it'd be weird in a situation where you were, like, playing that game for money.
Right.
Right, you'd really, like, learn who your friends were.
Well, it'd sort of be like a prisoner's dilemma kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah, I have a feeling that if I was playing that game for money in a situation where you were also playing, I would learn who my friends were, and it would turn out that they would not be you.
Depends on how much money, I guess. Because I don't really care.
You know what? My unwillingness to fuck my friends over doesn't depend on any amount of money, Hot Stuff. That's the difference between you and me. You're an opportunist. Game player.
I think if there were $1 billion at stake and either you got $1 billion or I got $1 billion or we got nothing, I think I might just go ahead and beat you at that game so that I have $1 billion and I'd give you half.
Oh, sure you would. Sure you would.
Sure.
Alright.
$500 million.
Fineldar says, you say you can do the entire exposure esplanade without icicles falling and killing you. How exactly? You can clear the whole thing just using cans of hairspray. Yeah, I mean, you can.
I'm surprised that has not been spaded out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel honestly like it is pretty trivial to do the entire thing without icicles falling on you.
Well, sort of. It's a little complicated.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. So yeah, yeah. I guess there are secrets of Hobopolis. If that's an actual question that people have, I guess there are secrets of Hobopolis that don't.
Well, because there are the choice adventures for the yodeling, but there's no opt out.
I see. So I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's but there are things that can be done. So.
Let's see. Gleeb says, I wonder if Crispin Glover ever played Glover for the N64. I don't know. I still like the idea that Crispin Glover lives in a house where every object in the house is the name of the object and then the last name Glover. I would watch that it'd be like Pee-wee's Playhouse. Except, you know, instead of Cherry, it would be Chair Glover. And it would just be a regular chair and Crispin Glover talking to it, because he's fucking nuts. Right? Like, there wouldn't be, it wouldn't be like an entertaining show for kids, it, you know, like, there wouldn't be like, you know, cartoons or other characters or whatever. I would just like to watch Crispin Glover just wandering around his house being fucking nuts.
It'd be sort of David Lynchian.
Yeah.
They could be listening to G Love, and there could be a glove collection. And, yeah, I can't really go anywhere with it.
Yep. Mad Surgeon says, can we get an X of Y notification for barrels of gunpowder similar to goat cheese? I looked at that, and I think that I cannot actually do that because there is no way of knowing whether you're actually on the quest or not.
Right.
The way that it's set up. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could probably have it set a flag when you talk to him. You know, just an entirely cosmetic thing. Mad Surgeon says, love the new turtle taming stuff, but is there a reason pheromones aren't multi-usable? Yeah, and it is because the effect that you get, the same reason they're not a potion, it's the effect that you get is kind of irrelevant. They could be a potion, actually. The effect that they have is essentially just a cooldown.
Right. That's why you can't get rid of it.
Yeah. Southwest says, could there be a way to get a ghoul whelp in an ascension if you accidentally complete the unlock of the hidden temple first? No. And that's, I honestly don't understand why it is that I think it's acceptable that I haven't fixed that yet.
Do you think it's acceptable that you haven't fixed it?
I don't, but then I keep doesn't have it fixed already. Oh, right. And okay, it says, kindly ignore the complete in that sentence. Without it, I look like less of an idiot. Well, you didn't look like a complete idiot. Justin says, so I tried playing Crackrocks the Barbarian and it doesn't work anymore. It does work. I think you just don't, you gotta move with the numpad.
It's never worked for me, even with the numpad.
There's a couple of funky things, like you can hit L and then a number and it just teleports you to that level, so you can just go right to the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's a feature?
Yeah.
Okay.
The game wasn't even close to done, and I have no idea why I... Like, the thing is, I didn't really release it. I guess I did. I put a link to it.
Right.
It just wasn't done. I don't know what... Maybe I put the link on there after I was like, oh, hey, here's that game that I almost finished like 6 months ago. Eh, fuck it. I'll just put a link to it. Because, you know, it was supposed to have an actual scheme for output and not just like that text box at the bottom. Yeah, huh, I don't know. I really want to do... you know what I ought to do? This is what I ought to do. I ought to just put out a call and say, all right, I want somebody in the community to make a roguelike with KOL item art and, like, an editor and, like, a scripting system so that you can make your own
levels.
Roguelike levels. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by making levels, because what makes something a roguelike is that the levels are random.
Oh, I don't know that that's actually true. I don't know that I would call that a necessary feature. I don't know. That's a good question, actually. I mean, that's certainly something that people think of when they think of a roguelike, but to me, it is like the sort of turn-based, tile-based thing that makes what I describe as a roguelike.
I feel like in Angband, there were defined level types, and there'd be, like, some basic structures that would be similar.
There's that DROD game that is the cross between a roguelike and Sokoban with created levels.
DROD.
Deadly Rooms of Death or something. There's a few of them. It's interesting. You should check it out.
I couldn't deal with it. Like, the text and the writing are very stupid.
I've seen worse.
Sure, I've seen worse, but, like, you know, I mean, right, it could just be the word fuck and the word cock repeated 500,000 times. It's not like I've ever seen that somewhere, right? But like,
all the voice acting is just a guy saying "but" over and over again.
But, oh man, I remember changing the WAV files. I probably told this story on the radio before, but there was a period of time when I was working in this office where we were playing a lot of DX Ball, which was like this Arkanoid clone for Windows, and all the sounds in it were just WAV files. So I went on to the computer and just replaced them with me saying like poop and butt and turd, feces.
Excellent.
And yeah, and I was playing it, and it was just like, it was awesome. I wish I had a recording of just the symphony that occurred when you would play that game with my sound effects in it. I think poop was the laser gun sound, so once you actually got that power up, the game just started sounding like poop, 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 poop. Vineldar says, I has an idea. A player-created content zone, but just fill it with huge cocks and balls instead of whatever content people actually make.
We wouldn't have to, I mean.
Yeah.
It would be indistinguishable from a real content, a player-created content zone.
Exactly.
Southwest says, what was the last thing that all the radio listeners looked up in a dictionary?
That's a good question.
Fineldar says, stop talking. Both my balls and my ass feel weird. That was because Scully and I were talking about getting balls and asses examined at a doctor.
Oh, okay.
Lilac says, fuck the haters. Fat Loon Image is awesome. Also, if we don't get new Hidden Temple content, can we get a rewrite of the current stuff? They're like two sentences each as is. Yeah. Zona says, is the Dwarvish rune idea from sardines? I don't know, Riff, had you been eating sardines when you came up with that?
Sardines? What?
Yeah, I don't know what that question means.
Maybe sardines is also some sort of game or something.
Maybe it's is there an anime called Sardines? That seems like the name
of
anime.
I mean, yeah, that could be an anime name. I've never heard of it if it is. Sardines.
Except it would be like Sardine Crisis or
the runes for the words kind of look like the keys off of sardine cans.
Oh. Huh.
Huh.
Also apparently the dwarf outfit tattoo you made totally looks like it says I heart rim jobs.
What?
Because the little rune looks like a guy bending over, kissing another little guy bending over's butt.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I get, you know, I had gone out that morning and gotten an I Heart Rim Jobs tattoo. And why does that have to be why was that, like, why does that have to be a guy kissing another guy's butt?
I don't know.
You see what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
I was resistant to the accusation that was the case for a long time. Jenny first noticed it and then heard somebody else talking in hardcore or somebody about it and shouted to me, I am not the only one!
I mean, I guess it's one of those things that you cannot ever unsee, right?
Yeah.
I don't have that tattoo, so I can't even look at it. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of these tattoos could be anything, you know? Like the radio tower, total cock and balls. The crossed shovel and pickaxe from the dwarven outfit, it's like a cock crossed with the balls.
The fat lady bending over.
Two men walking abreast. Fineldar says, so your stock advice is to have sex with as many women as you can in high school, and then when you get out, to have sex with as many women as possible. Yes.
Also still in high school.
Right. Glebe says, while it was a bug, the having one chance to kill the boss aspect of Hodgman was a pretty cool game mechanic. Any chance we could see it recycled in future content? Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see, like...
One chance to kill Skelter Buttleton.
Well, I think they mean, like, one action, right? Like, I mean, I feel like we pre-cycled it in the Tower Monsters. And the Destructobot in El Vibrato works like that. So, I mean, yeah, it's certainly not a mechanic that we're averse to using. The Ramen King says, has there been any talk of a sponge-type familiar? A familiar that gains weight underwater but loses weight on the ground? That's kind of clever, actually.
Yeah, I like that.
Huh.
I feel like it would have to gain weight more quickly than usual underwater for that to be.
But, I mean, you'd never really have to adventure with it out of water, right? Like,
yeah, but maybe it was super cool on the water.
Yeah. But, you know, most of
maybe familiar, it's super cool everywhere to give you the impetus to use it not in the water.
I guess it could be like a pet rock underwater. It just got heavier twice as fast.
Most of a familiar's weight comes from buffs and stuff anyway, though, right? So it's like, I kind of wish that wasn't the case. That, not really. I don't really wish that. I don't know why I said that. Lilac says, Hippie Stench and Musk of the Moose still have the same icon and are often used together. Wait, do they?
There was another set that was also similar. It was On the Trail and something else.
Wait, those are effects, not... Yeah, there are still a lot of effects that share the same icons. I'm saying there are no skills that share icons anymore.
I see.
Let's see. Tatsuya says, is there a way we can be invisible to certain people while logged into the chat? No.
Maybe you're invisible all the time.
You can delete them, and then you won't know whether or not they find you visible.
Apocalypse Throb says, can we get a global winning streaks board beside the longest winning streaks board at the pool table? I don't know.
I had suggested it, and it was heartily not...
I would like a thing that shows you the length of the current streak of the current table holder, even if it's not their longest streak.
Wait, it does.
That's when you play pool with them, but I don't know that it...
No, it does. When you look at the thing, it says player X is in control of the table, having won the last X games in a row.
Oh. Okay, I just must be retarded then.
Let's see, and I don't have a VIP key, so I can't actually verify that. If that is not the case, it should be. I definitely wrote that code, so if it's not working, that's a problem.
It's possible I just haven't been paying attention.
Yeah. It's possible that no one on Earth knows how to read. That's something.
Just fake it.
Yeah, everybody's faking it. And whenever anybody says, hey, what book are you reading? You reply, a real one.
A real one, yeah.
Because what's funny is that how to pretend to read a book, it would be a real book, right? Like, even like a book with no pages is still a book. Well, okay, even a book with nothing written on the pages is still a book, I guess. Because, like, a notebook. Melfin the Third says, you know what would be cool? If a hippie or frat boy ran out to tell us the concert was sufficiently promoted after we posted enough flyers. Changing outfits and checking back is super annoying. Yeah, all that text is written so that there would be that indicator, but, like, it's so much of a hassle that nobody ever sees it. That said, you know, those are the kind of battles that we basically never win, so I'll try. Although, does it stop you from promoting again if you've already completely promoted? I mean, so I guess there's never more than like a one turn lag.
Well, except for if you're doing it. If you're going somewhere specifically to flyer for it, you don't want to, like, waste an adventure to go into to see, you know?
Yeah. I guess that's true. Although you have to adventure somewhere, right? I guess maybe you don't want all your monster level gear on. Anyway, sure, I'll do it. Fine. Apocalypse Throb says, please make uncooked marshmallows food. So there's not really any reason for them not to be. They could be food that was equivalent to fortune cookies or mug cakes, yeah. Martialis says, Yuletide is not optimal. Make roasted marshmallows untradeable. It will be funny. I'm actually surprised that they're not untradeable.
Yeah.
It seems like we would have done that. That's an interesting... It's an interesting effect.
It is.
Let's see. King Stupid says, I very much enjoy the area theme familiars. Example, fish in the sea. Is this a mechanic you guys plan to continue to use for future content? Of course. King Stupid says, so how many people made Rod Handsome Huge Dick as a player after last week's radio show? Just one. Zeltang says, the cards and papers from the Dwarven side quest have auto-sell values. Trap or oversight? Admiral Akbar? It's an oversight!
No, they have auto-sell values so that once you're done with the quest, you can get rid of them.
They only fail to drop if you already have them, right? So you can get another one if you are.
If you get rid of it, you can go get another one.
A deadhead says, the hot tub is broken somehow. If I have 20 HP less than max, it will still only restore one. It's possible that there's something pushed out that doesn't understand your maximum hit points correctly, or it is also possible that you're wrong. Can you duplicate it? Can you explain the circumstances under which it happens to you?
And that would imply giving us a complete list of all your effects and equipment.
That kind of sucks, actually.
Familiar. But but that's the thing. We need to know everything that's going on for it to be meaningful, you know? If it is happening, it's some effect or gear or familiar or something that's like giving you hit points that the tub just doesn't recognize, right?
A deadhead sent in a question later that leads me to believe that he had that uncertain effect. Because he said his hit points value kept bouncing around within plus or minus 9.
Okay, then that explains that.
Right, which sounds... Yeah, it sounds like... Okay, yeah, I don't know why I forgot about that when I was thinking about the broken hot tub thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's weird that you would just report it with your hit points. Maybe he just wasn't paying attention to the fact that his stats were bouncing around, too?
Yeah, I don't know. That totally makes sense.
Jubweb says, I'm trying to figure out which appendages the dwarves used to count such that they ended up with a base 7 counting system. I've come to the conclusion that dwarves have 7 feet.
Well, I think when this was all first conceived of, you suggested that they counted by holding out foot-long sections of their body.
Yeah, I remember that, actually. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm pretty funny, even when I don't remember it. Oh, wow. We're almost out of questions. And only, like, 5 more minutes of this recording. I'm going to be super pissed if this recording is all...
garbled.
Assy.
Garble, garble, garble.
Turtle Taming for Life says, why is the plexiglass pith helmet requirement based on moxie instead of muscle? Because it's a hat. And by and large...
Yeah, very rarely do we break that convention.
We should break it more often, because that would be a way to actually differentiate gear across classes. But...
I'm not sure I entirely understand why that rule is as set in stone as it is anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that well thought out.
Oh, come on. To equip hats and... pants, you need to have sufficient style to be able to wear them.
It made sense at the time, but I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, I mean, it kind of would make more sense for us to be able to do, like, you know, clothy kind of gear with, you know, or spellcasty kind of gear requiring mist, and heavy armor and weapons requiring muscle, and, like, stylish stuff that was roguey requiring moxie, right? Like, that just kind of makes a lot more sense.
Fine. If you want to... I mean, if you want to think about it in some sort of weird role-playing kind of thing. I mean, we're just talking... I thought KOL was just a simulator for real life. I thought that was the whole point of this endeavor.
It's true.
Real life simulator we could.
I still think that one of the funniest things that I have ever put into the game is the message for when you don't have high enough moxie to equip a shirt, and it says, "You're not sexy enough for this shirt."
It's, you use muscle to equip shirts.
Is it muscle?
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Which is also kind of funny.
It just says, muscle shirts, yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, the thing is, I would just change it all, right? I would just go through and I would look, you know, what kind of class is this sort of thing designed for? And
wow.
But then who knows what that would even do to the Ascension get to, like, hardcore play. You know. It would be an interesting way to differentiate classes.
Definitely.
Access to gear. Anyway. Huh. Gugu says, "I haven't seen much spam in the forums lately." Yay! Yeah, I don't know if CD Moyer figured out a trick for stopping the spam stuff from signing up, or if the moderators have just been doing an especially good job of stopping that from happening.
But I thought we added the "Are you a human?" question to the.
Did we? Is that what happened?
I thought we.
Yeah.
I seem to remember him saying that trips up 99% of bots.
Yeah. Wonder how long it'll be till they figure all that out. Garlic says, "I like the new privacy options. Is there any chance you might add custom outfits to the list of things you can allow other players to see?" I don't know about that. That seems like it'd be a weird thing to present.
Yeah, I don't know how it would work.
I'm not sure why people would be interested in seeing what your custom outfits are.
I definitely can, right? Like, I mean, I can see, like, because you get... You could look at it and think, like, I wonder why they have that kind of stuff in a custom outfit. And then maybe it's like, oh, maybe it's because there are times when they want a lot of this kind of enchantment. I wonder what that's all about. Like, I could definitely see being curious, right? Like, I could definitely see, like, being interested in what custom outfits somebody else has. But it's sort of like...
So, I mean, do you think people would do that thinking about what to purchase in the mall? So they'd be looking at other people's profiles sort of in a buy-curious kind of way?
I'm gonna give that joke a moment of silence. Not H. Kirk says, "Suggestion for the chum cage. What if when somebody gets the adventure where they can go down the ladder, if somebody is trapped, it says they can hear someone shouting or something, so they wouldn't have to waste an adventure going down the ladder to check and see if someone were trapped?" Yeah, that's probably the best way to approach that. Because, you know, it just sort of...
There could be a little sign that says, "Occupancy 1.
Mecha says, "How's May been for donations? Was it mostly just for keys?" We're doing all right so far. The fullness of time is going to be required in order to really know how much of it is keys and how much of it is pool tables. Because I don't know if the ratio is changing or if it's going to change over time.
I like the thing you said about maybe just keeping clan equipment as, like, a backup thing, so that if we're doing a familiar of the month that is kind of weird and we're not sure if anybody's gonna want it, then we put in clan furniture also that month. So we have a month where we've got two different things that we expect will at least sell half as much as usual.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, a sixth as much as usual if it's a three Mr. A thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's probably okay. The whole point of doing something new in May was to try and maybe establish something else, like some other kind of habit that we could get into with Mr. Store, you know? Because it's nice having some traditions, because it just makes it a lot easier to come up with what we're going to do. right? Like, approaching what's the next item of the month going to be, just starting from zero, is always just kind of horrifying.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, this is what it is. We'll see. You know, I think I am always a little too touchy about what people are going to get, you know, upset about or think is sleazy, right? So, like, if, you know, as I honestly feel like no matter what we do in Mr. Store, if I'm okay with it, it's probably going to be okay. Because I feel like, by and large, we could be a lot more aggressive about making money than we are, and we still wouldn't necessarily be doing anything wrong. And I don't know, you know, nobody in that forum thread seemed to be especially upset about anything that I proposed as something that we might do. Right, so it is weird. I didn't mean to imply, by the way, Stupak, that there was anything wrong with the transcript. It was just, that is a problem that is going to happen if you're reading a transcript of the show. Even if you wrote down verbatim what I said, there's not going to be any, you know, there is often a lot of meaning in the inflection that is just not going to come across like that. And so it's especially noticeable to me when there is some kind of fundamental misunderstanding of something that we discuss on the show. And to be fair, the show had not been updated, had not been uploaded to the archive yet either. So I guess it's on the podcast. I got to figure out again how to get the download stats from the podcast.
From iTunes?
Because I know how many people download stuff from the
radio show archive.
The radio archive, yeah, sort of. It's hard to get it in the, I mean, I know from the most popular 20 in a given week or day how many are downloaded, right? Like, I'd have to add up several weeks worth of data to really figure out. Anyway, I think we're done.
We're out of time.
All right, so play us out, Scully. We'll talk to you Monday.
And see you
Thursday.